first slide up, please. It's what we're talking about this month, and it says, our offering and sacrifice for missions is acceptable and pleasing to God, and I didn't quote that. That's found in Scripture, and so we can all do our part. Missions pledge, it's a faith pledge. As you are obedient to God, you pray, Lord, how much do you want me? If you're an individual, a husband and wife team, family, and we're going to have little slips of paper like we did, if you remember, a year ago. We had pieces of paper, some that said $15 a month, some that said $20 a month, others that said $50 a month. And so we support these missionaries all around here. And then these two on the left side, if you weren't here this morning, the first two on the left, on my left side, those are the ones that we are we're praying and considering to support. And so did I just drop something? Oh, there it is. So we're praying to support these families and the first two on the left. And so so it's not our idea. It's not our plan. It's not something that we came up with. We find it in Scripture. And Shannon shared a great message this morning. That story, if you haven't read it, if you haven't seen the movie, The End of the Spear. It's a very powerful movie. I read that book, read Nate Saint's book, and Jim Elliot, a biography on him as well. And so very challenging book to read, because when you read it, you come out of that book saying, Lord, what can I do? Lord, what am I not doing? And when you realize that there are people who are out there who have never heard of the term Jesus saves. You have not. I mean, there are people. Just think about that. Jesus saves. How many of you have seen a poster, a picture, maybe on the computer, maybe on someone's T-shirt? It says Jesus saves, or Jesus is my homeboy. I mean, there are people that have never even heard of the word Jesus, and connect that with God's Son, connect that with the man who died on the cross for mankind's sin. And so there are many people who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. The title of my message today is The Target is God's Desire. I have a target up here, and I'm going to ask somebody in a little bit to come and throw some of these darts and see if you hit the target. And so our missions pledge, and we're encouraging the church to pray, Lord, how much should I give? How much do you want me to give? Like I said, if you're an individual, pray and ask the Lord. If you're a husband or wife, come together as a team, as a family. Maybe get your children involved. I mean, because I believe that Luke, I believe that Michael, they can give 25 cents. They can give 50 cents or maybe a little bit of their allowance. They're like, no. Yeah, I believe they can. I believe they can go ahead and rummage through the couch and find 35, 45 cents in the couch or in your little cup holders inside your car and be like, ooh, missions money. I'm giving them ideas now. But I believe that they can be a part of that, and with them individually as a whole family, not just give, but also pray. And so we can all support. Notice the word all is capitalized. We can all support our missionaries. When I say our missionaries, they're not mine. They're God's, but God says, look, you guys have the opportunity. And so we look at these missionaries, and we can say they're our missionaries, that we get to play a part in that. Slide two, if you can, what's at the center of that target? Do you see what's at the center of it? It's a heart. All right, but what's in the center of the heart? It's too small, huh?
Bullet holes.
No. Go to the next slide. What's inside the target? You said the heart.
Eyeballs.
A person. All right. You know what? The closer you get to the target, the bigger it is and the better it is to see what's at the center. Go to the next one. You might be able to know what's at the center. The world. Go to the next one. and Africa and Europe, okay? God does care about the people in the Far East. I just couldn't find a heart of the world with the whole globe map. But that's God's desire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God does not desire for any to perish. Everyone say any.
Any.
He doesn't want anyone, any to perish, but for all. Everybody say all. But for all to come to repentance. So this is God's desire. So when I think about, you know, a target and shooting for the target of God's desire is for everyone to know Jesus. Jesus saves. Like I mentioned, some people don't even know who Jesus is, but God wants everyone to know that Jesus saves. The larger the picture, the better to see the target. See, we have targets or goals in life, and it's always good to have a goal or target. I've always heard this said. I'm not sure exactly who penned this, but if you aim for nothing, then you will hit it every time. If you aim for nothing, you will eventually hit it every time. But who decides what is the target? Now, of course, on that picture, the target, it's God's desire, but who decides your target? Maybe you might have a 3-year plan or a 5-year or a 3-month plan. You have a target. I'm hoping that you're going to God to decide what the target is. For a large corporation, who decides what the target is? What's the main focus? Well, that could be either the board of directors or the CEO, the person who owns the company. For a restaurant manager, it's not him or her that decides the target. It's probably the corporate office. Maybe it's the owner of the restaurant that this person manages. See, the goal is not just to remain open. Okay? I mean, of course, that's automatic and always the goal. What person wants to open up a restaurant or have a company just for the next day to fail? I mean, nobody wants that. So that's always automatically. I have a restaurant or I have a business. I'm an owner of the store. I want the doors to remain open. Whoops. No duh, you started a business. Of course you want it open. But the goal or the target has to be larger than you. Has to be larger than who you are at the present time. So a person who is who owns a restaurant wants to be one of the main restaurants that everybody wants to go to in town. I mean, it has to be bigger than who they are at the present time. Our goal in missions, believe it or not, it's not just these missionaries here that we have on the wall. One of these days, I want to be able to put missionaries all around the walls when it comes time for us to focus on missions and to encourage people in the church. Hey, listen, I want to be able to support that missionary in Tibet. Right now, we don't have a missionary in Tibet. But if we were to, you know, support a missionary in Tibet, then I would want them to be on the wall one day. You see, I used to have this goal, and I shared it to the church one time. Our goal in missions right now is and continues to be led by the heart of God to support missions. We pray and we ask God, Lord, who should we support? I used to think that the total number of missionaries to support would be my goal. If you remember, I think I had said by 2018, I would like to have 20 missionaries, or was it 16? And then at one time I thought, you know what, by 2020, I want to have an X amount of missionaries that we can support. And that kind of has changed because my goal is this, 100. Are you thinking, 100 missionaries? That's a lot. That's a big jump from 20. No, 100% of the people of Hidden Treasures, members and attendees that come to Hidden Treasures, 100% would have the heart of God. The target would be to support missions. It's not my idea again. I'm not getting any kickbacks from any of these missionaries. They're not sending me $5 in the mail because our church, no, we're not getting any kickbacks. But if every member of Hidden Treasures and every attendee of Hidden Treasures would see this is God's desire that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I may not step foot in Africa, but man, I'm supporting the Coopers and they are spreading the gospel of Jesus through the airwaves, through radio and television. And I get to be a part of that one day. I'm going to go to heaven and swarms of people are going to say thank you for supporting the Coopers. And it's not for the recognition there because that's not why I'm doing it. I mean, well, kind of, because it says store your treasures up in heaven, like Shannon said this morning. But to be able to not step foot in Africa and yet be a part of thousands that come to know Jesus Christ, that is a great reward. And so my goal, my desire is that 100% of the people, of all the families of this church, would say, I will support missions financially and prayerfully. Why, Pastor? Why 100? Why are you wanting everybody? Well, how many members or those attending Hidden Treasures do you want to have the heart of God? To have the target that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Listen, I got to stop thinking about my own backyard and my neighborhood. Because, yeah, those people need Jesus, but there are people that have not even heard about Jesus. Jesus who? Is that his last name, Christ? No, Christ is not his last name. Jesus Christ, Jesus the Anointed One. That's what Christ means. We have to see that the target and be willing to reach that target. Now, the Areola's target is not $5. Well, why isn't it $5? Because we as a family can see we can do more than $5. Well, why isn't it $5? Because we as the Areola family can see that, man, we easily spend more than that on non-spiritual things. Ever think about that? How much you spend on non-spiritual things and how much you render or give to God with a cheerful heart. It was mentioned this morning, and I was thinking about this, and I was going to share it at the end of the service this morning, but I just didn't feel the service kind of shifted, and so I didn't share that. But Brian mentioned this morning, I think it was Brian who mentioned, that God loves a cheerful giver. Do you know why God loves a cheerful giver? You ever think about that? God, why do you love a cheerful giver? Because God is cheerful. God wants us to have the characteristics of him. That's why we're supposed to be building or developing godly character. And it is God's character. And this caused me to see a picture of God. When he blesses you, the smile on his face, I get to bless Stacy. I get to bless my girl. God is cheerful himself. He loves to give. For God so loved the world that he gave. Who? His only son. That's great evidence right there that God loves when he gives to his children. God is a loving father. God is a providing father. God is a caring father. And when he blesses us, there's a huge smile. So have this picture in my head, in your head, or in your mind. Every time that God rains his blessings upon you, he's smiling. Why? Because if God is asking you to be a cheerful giver, don't you think that God is a cheerful giver? If God wants you to love others, even regardless of whatever they do, because that's how his love is, God wants you to love people like that as well. That's why we have to develop his character. So I was thinking about this morning, God, why do you love a cheerful gift? Because you're cheerful. God, because you love to give. God, it brings a smile to your face. God, there is joy, enormous amount of joy when you give to your children. So that's why God loves a cheerful giver. So why $5? Well, because the Areola family received from God a certain amount to give towards missions. And this is what we give. We give out of a cheerful heart. We give saying, God, thank you that we're able to give this amount to you, God, because you've provided it all anyway. All of it is yours anyway. This is what happens, what becomes of our hearts when the target is not the heart of God. Next slide. It's nothing. Has no eternal value. Doesn't affect anybody. It doesn't do the purpose of which is God's desire. God's desire is for all to come to repentance and none to perish. But when our heart and our target is not the things of God, it's not what God desires, it's not the heart of God, it's nothing. Has no eternal value. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. I want to read what Paul says to the Philippian believers. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't count myself as something great. I don't look at myself like I'm Mr. Know-it-all or Mr. Macho or Mr. Done-it-all. But this one thing I do, I do what? Count myself to have apprehended. That I forgot those things that are behind, that are in the back, that are in the rearview mirror. And I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching forward, that is something active, something continuous, something that happens hopefully every day for all of us. But something that we do. And he says, this is what I'm reaching forward. Forget about what I've achieved before, because I do not count myself as being of some great person. Just because of what I used to do, I forget those things, but I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, it's a prize. It's an award that people here on earth just don't understand, but God does. An upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. I can get, hey, Michael, come on up here. He's like, can I come up with that? Come on up here.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
Phoebe, come on up here, Phoebe.
Yeah, Phoebe.
And Miss Sam, come on up here. All right, Michael, I want you to stand right here. You can throw this dart as hard as you can, and I want you to try to hit that target. Ready? Oh, good job. You want to try again? Yeah? All right, we'll try again. Take one step forward. Oh, try it again. Right up there. I'm glad nobody was behind the sign. Oh, all right. Do it like how I used to do it on Duck Hunt. Go ahead. Right there. All right. Thank you, Michael. All right. Yeah, don't look at me bad for cheating on Duck Hunt. I think most of you did that too. If you don't know what Duck Hunt is, I'm sorry. All right, Phoebe. You ready? Woo! All right. Thank you, Phoebe. You want another chance? No? Okay. Go ahead, Sam. Let's see. Oh, come on, Sam. You can do it better. Hey, Jim, you want to hold it? Thank you. Woo! Good job. He says, I press toward the goal. There's a prize. There's an award that Paul wants to achieve. Well, how do you know he wants to reach it? Because he's reaching forward to something that's ahead, not what's in the rearview mirror. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, I'm not sure if you've thought about this. There is a divine call on your life. There's a divine call on your life. Well, Pastor, I don't know what my call is. Well, spend some more time in his presence. Spend some more time in prayer. Spend some more time listening, and he'll tell you what your call is on your life. And an interesting thing is that God stays the same, but we go through seasons. So there might be a certain time when I was in the military, there was a divine call on my life. When I was stationed here, I was praying for Marines to come to know Jesus Christ. I would leave tracks. That was a certain time period that there was a call on my life to be a light in that dark place. It was like prison. It was like jail. It was like, seriously, because the whole Marine barracks was like a big block. And, you know, I called it CB4. You know, and it was just a block, and it was three floors, and it looked like prison. It seriously looked like prison. When you walked into the courtyard, you looked around. I mean, it literally looked like a prison. And I knew that there was darkness in there. And I prayed. And I interceded for some people that they would come to know the Lord. So there are seasons in your life where the calling kind of changes. But you know what? For the most part, it stays the same. That we would be witnesses for God. That we would be bold witnesses for Jesus. That is why the Holy Spirit came into the apostles and to every believer, to everyone who believes, that they would be bold witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, Samaria, and othermost parts of the world, in Camden, in Georgia, and throughout the world, that we would be bold witnesses for Jesus. I choose to reach forward. This is an active commitment to move toward the things or the works of God. There is a goal, and as we looked at this target, there is a goal. The goal is that so that people who don't know Jesus will come to know Jesus. An award in heaven, but also this divine calling of God on our life here on earth. Ever think about that your life doesn't mean much? You're really not doing anything? What are you really doing in life, and what does it, I mean, you know, so many other people, they have all these accolades, and they're doctors, or they've gone here, they've gone around the world. I was watching this one video of this guy. I have no idea if he's paying for it, or if all the money, because of all the people that view him on YouTube, this guy goes on so many different airplane flights, and he sits in the first class, and he compares it with the economy, and I'm like, dude, you got time to do all this, and he's recording, and I'm thinking, I guess he has the time to do it. But there's a calling on our lives that God has called us to be somebody. We were created for a divine purpose, eternal value. When we look to God and we get closer to him, we see what the target is. He reveals it to us. And here, Paul talks to the mature believers. Listen, encourage others to have this same mindset. He said, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you in anything think otherwise, well, you know what? God's going to reveal that to you. But we as believers need to encourage and encourage others to have this same mindset. Well, what mindset? Well, the chapter before that, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm not going to read all that, but verses 5 through 11, this is the mindset. Have the mindset that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus came to serve, that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus, his name is above every other name, and that because of his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have this mindset. Missions is clearly defined in Scripture. God sent people. They were sent ones to proclaim the salvation of the Lord. When God sent angels to rescue Lot, when God sent Moses to rescue Israel from Egypt, when God sent prophets like Israel and Jeremiah to the captive of Israel, in the New Testament, when God sent apostles to go and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, when God sent Mary, go tell the disciples and Peter that you've seen me. And then when God sent John the Baptist says, man, I am just a giving warning to everybody. I am not the one who is the true light. There is one whose sandals I am not even worthy to latch. I am only preparing the way. And when God sent Saul, as we're reading here in Philippians chapter 2 and 3, God sends people. And as God sends people, people support those that he sends. God uses people to proclaim his truth and to give warning of the wrath to come to those who reject him. We have to take inventory. What are we doing? What am I doing? Lord, am I faithfully supporting missions financially and prayerfully? In what areas am I being, quote unquote, missional? When I go to the store, am I being missional? When I go pay bills, am I missional? When I'm going to go pay a certain bill, am I missional? Do I talk to this person? Do I have it in my mind that this person may not know Jesus? Do I have it in my mind I need to have an invite a card so that I can pass it to them and invite them to church? I don't even have to go to overseas to be missional. I don't have to go on a mission trip. I'd like to. I don't have to go on a mission trip to be missional. The heart of God is that people who don't know him will come to know him. Jonah chapter 3. Let's just go to Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Because this is really, in extent, a story about missions. A story about missions that Jonah was told by God to go to the Ninevites, to go to Nineveh and tell them something. He didn't want to go. But here in chapter 3, because I'm fast forwarding here, he's already been spit out by the big fish, or like VeggieTales, the big whale. And so it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. How many of you are glad that God gives a second chance? Oh man, I am too. He says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a three-day journey in extent. New Living Translation says that it would take 3 days to walk through it. Huh? Big as Jacksonville. I've never walked Jacksonville, but I'm not sure if it'll take 3 days to walk through it, but That would be a good feat. I was thinking, I've driven through Texas once. It takes more than 3 hours. But this is not in a car, I'm not sure if he had a donkey, but I mean, it takes 3 days to walk through it. And verse 4, Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, according to scripture, that's all the message that we have what Jonah said. Was there more? I don't know, but all I'm reading is, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Jonah traveled so far, yet according to scripture, he didn't say much, did he? Not even a 30-minute sermon. A great city in wickedness, 3 days to walk through its extent. Same message throughout the city. I'm thinking for the next 3 days, he went and told, as he walked through the city of Nineveh, he just told them, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Striving for the target isn't so much about what you say, but the attitude and commitment to reach it. It's the attitude and commitment. I can stand here all day and say, I'm going to hit it. I'm going to hit it right there. But it's not going to happen until I actually, the flick of the wrist and just let it go. And just throw that dart. It's not, don't get hung up on, oh God, what am I going to say to my coworkers? Just be committed. Lord, send me. Lord, use me. God, help me to get over myself. Help me step over timidity and fear. God, I just want to be committed to you. So it's not so much about what you're going to say. God will give you the words to speak. But the attitude and the commitment. God, I want to reach that target. Your desire is that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. I want to reach that. We might have to say something like, well, how has our life changed? Some of you can say that. Some of you remember where God brought you out of. What have you learned so far since you've come to know Jesus Christ? What has God told you? You see, we got a lot of things. If we're really honest, we got a lot of things that we can tell people about Jesus saves, about God's love. Just looking at ourselves. What did God do? What have we learned? And if you haven't learned anything, you might need to spend some time in Bible study. But what have you learned? And then what has God told you? So again, it's not so much about, oh, what am I going to say? It's just, God, I surrender. I give up my rights. I've given up my rights to you when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Lord, I want to be committed to reach that target. If you notice, when Jonah went into Nineveh, he didn't say to tell them, you know, ABCs of salvation or what exactly to pray. He just said, as we read, yet 40 days in Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't say, hey, you need to repent. See, the repentance is not on our part. The repentance is on their part. We just have to tell them what God's word says or what God is telling us to tell them what to say or telling us what to say to them. That's our responsibility. The repentance is on theirs. If you notice that within these verses, it didn't say that Jonah told them to repent or that the Ninevites say, hey, we must repent. We find what they did. And in what they did, I mean, they corrected. They corrected themselves. It is not so much what correct words we say, but our lives and hearts show repentance. Let's go to Jonah chapter 3, verses 5. I think 5 and... So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 6. Then word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. I think it's verse 7 as well. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast hurt. What does this sound like? They're changing. We don't read what they actually said. What was their prayer? Really, I don't think their actual words really mattered. The fact of what they actually did. How they responded to the fact of 40 days and you will be overthrown. 40 days and you will be overthrown. The word repentance is defined as to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. To have remorse or contrite. That word contrite is found in Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. A broken and contrite heart, remorseful, repentive heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart. God, forgive me. And save such as be of a contrite spirit. Lord, forgive me. Repentance, a repentive heart. You ever think, I heard this when I was at National General Council. Did you ever think about why God used a big fish to swallow Jonah and not an alligator or a lion on the way to the pier to go on the boat and go into the waters? I didn't know this. I didn't really realize that Nineveh, it's an Assyrian city, which is modern-day Mosul, M-O-S-U-L, Iraq. So if you go on a map, find Mosul, Iraq, and that's pretty much the area where Nineveh was. And at that time, the Assyrians, they worshipped Dagon like the Philistines did. You know who Dagon is? He's a fish god. I thought, so this stinky man coming out of the belly of a whale, fish, or grouper, or whatever, came out and walked to Nineveh and told them, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I could see how that got their attention. How they got their attention, not that it was the fish god Dagon, but it was the God, the Creator, who was telling them to repent. And we find that what they did in repentance, it wasn't so much out of words, but it was a repentive heart. And I started thinking about the thief on the cross. When he looked to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me. It wasn't the ABCs of salvation. It wasn't Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Although those are great scriptures to follow. But his heart was, when he looked to Jesus, he said, Lord. And even when Jesus, when they brought the woman caught in adultery, she didn't say the sinner's prayer. Jesus told her and gave her instructions. Go and sin no more. Because he asked her, where are those accusers? Are they still not here? She says, no, no one's left. And then Jesus says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. So the repentance would be that when she got up and walked away, that she went and sinned no more. We didn't find out that she came back to Jesus and said thank you and called him master or Lord. She didn't come back and say son of David. She didn't come back and say, I surrender my life. I give my life to you. I will follow you. We didn't find any of that. Jesus told her, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. We find out that it is our heart's desire. It ought to be our heart's desire to hit the target of what is God's desire, that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. It took Jonah on his second try to know that it wasn't his target, it wasn't his life, it was God's target, it was God's desire, and God's instructions that needed to be followed. So I encourage you, during this month, anybody know John 3:16? We kind of know that, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, Ezra, that whosoever who believe in him shall not perish, everlasting life. Anybody know verse 17? Go ahead, Ezra, stand up. No. All right, shout it out loud from where you're sitting. God didn't send his son to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. See, we know John 3:16. But I think verse 17 is also powerful. God didn't send Jesus to condemn. God sent Jesus to save this world. I want us to pray. God, there are missionaries that are going to different parts of the world to compel people to hear this message that Jesus saves. I want to be a part of that. I want to hit that target. I want to hit the target that it is God's desire, and I want to hit right in the center, because not just my words, not just my money, but my attitude and my commitment. My attitude and my commitment that God, your desire now becomes my desire. Let that be our prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. I thank you, God, that you saved us. And God, I pray that 100% of hidden treasures will not have an ounce or a shred of selfishness, that that we've come to know you, but we don't really care about other people coming in. Lord, I pray that 100% of hidden treasures would see that, God, thank you that you saved me. And God, I want to play a part in the world coming to know Jesus and being saved just like I have. Father, I pray you speak to our hearts as we pray and ask you, God, how can we support? How can we pray for these missionaries? And that you lead us. Lord, that it's not just words, but an attitude and a commitment that, Father, I'm going to hit the target that your desire is that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Because, God, without your help, I can't do it anyway. So, Father, we thank you. As we come together as a church, Lord, in unity, desiring to hit this target, it's your desire. We thank you for sending Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen.